We're going to start a new series. I was talking to a few of my friends this week and was offering like, hey, here's some sermons series, some topics I've been contemplating on, and here they are. Which ones would you be interested in hearing? And every single one of them said stamina. And I think we live in a world that is at a pace that a lot of us struggle to keep up with. And it seems like the more you push to stay at the pace of life, it seems like the more life just piles on you, and the heavier it gets, and you still got to keep up, and then it gets heavier and heavier, and you still got to keep up. And I think a lot of us are just tired. And we're physically tired, we're emotionally tired, and we're spiritually tired, okay? And so we're going to look at what the Bible says and what it talks about. And it uses different words, endurance, perseverance, those type of words. But it's all reflecting into a stamina, okay? And let's just ask ourselves this morning, why are we so tired? I mean, is it just me, or are you all tired too? Huh? Are you too tired to answer? Okay, all right. So I think everyone is in agreement that we're tired. All right. Have you ever gotten up, or even before you ever fall asleep the night before, you're already planning your nap the next day? Anybody ever done that? Okay, like I know I'm going to be tired tomorrow, and if I can squeeze in like 10 minutes right here, man, that'd be awesome. Okay. So why are we so tired? Well, let's look at some of the terminology that we're going to use in this series, okay? What is stamina? When I say stamina, what's that mean? Okay, and that's the ability to sustain and to keep up and to live a life at the level that you need to be at to do the things that you're called to do, all right? And did you hear how I phrased that? It's the things that you're called to do, because I think sometimes we're called to do some stuff, and we try to meddle in that a little bit, but we do all the other stuff that we think are more important and that we're throwing on ourselves, and it's stuff that we're not really called to do. And sometimes we're exerting a lot of energy and a lot of, we're displacing our energy and efforts into an area that maybe that we're not called to do. And maybe if we cut some stuff away that's not quite important, and we came over and concentrated on the things that we're actually called to do, then you might find that your energy level, your spiritual, physical health kind of gets better, all right? Or you get well. So what's it mean to be tired? These are people who feel like they need to go to sleep and they need some rest because they are weary, all right? Well, what's weary mean? Weary is that feeling and you look tired. Anybody ever wake up in the morning and just look at yourself and go, I need to try again? Okay? And it's because a lot of us are running on fumes. And there's two types of personalities, okay? My grandfather was the type of guy that if his gas tank got below 3/4 of a tank, it was time to go get some gas. Because he was getting low. That gas tank was getting low. Okay? I'm the other way. I'm the kind of guy who wants to see how close I can get to zero and make it to a gas station before I buy gas. And a bunch of us are running on fumes, and we're passing up gas stations and be like, I think I can make the next one. Let's see. Okay? And a lot of us are just exhausted. Anybody feels like they're exhausted? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. But does anybody feel like you're too exhausted? You're like, yes, I'm tired, okay? So you're in a constant state of, and then here's the word, extreme physical, mental, and I'm going to throw in spiritual fatigue. All right? So why are we here? Well, our work pace is crazy. Okay, and There's no political statements here whatsoever. These are just straight facts. Okay? In the U.S., the working population, 85.8% of all men and 66.5% of all the females in the working population work more than 40 hours a week. The 40-hour work week is not accurate. Most of us work more than 40 hours a week. The average, and it's not that we're just trying to catch up to do the same amount of work. Actually, the American worker produces 400% more than we did in the 50s. And that's due to a lot of things. Technology, you know, advancements in other areas, all that stuff. But it's not that we are working longer hours because that's what's needed to get the job done. We are working longer hours and we're working longer productive hours. And what's probably happening is that a lot of us come home and when we walk through the door, we've spent all that we have to spend. And your family gets the fumes. Okay? And then in 1960, only 20% of all mothers worked. All right? My wife works, so, you know, I'm not saying anything that's not at my household. And today, 70% of all children live in a household where every adult in the household is employed and working. So that means that if you have an 18-year-old kid or a sibling, they're working as well. So everybody's working longer hours, productive hours, okay? What are some of the symptoms? What are some of the things? What are some of the causes for what we would deem as burnout, where we get to this stage to where we are just exhausted? And sometimes we'd give up if we had the energy to actually give up. Well, some of us can be driven by success, and it's that internal drive, it's that internal need to succeed that drives us, keeps driving us, makes us work long hours. And when we could get to a place where we could shut it down for the day, we move on to the next task. And then once you move on to the next task, you can't leave until you get that one completed. And so then we just keep adding more and more days, more and more hours into our work days. And it can be that we are sometimes our own worst enemy because we feel like we have to succeed. There cannot be a failure. And so when you prepare for things, some of us prepare in a way that we over-prepare. And we're even adding more stress and we're exerting more energy because of this internal drive to succeed. If you are someone who is chronically dealing with fatigue, something's wrong. Okay? Your sleep patterns are being disturbed. You're not getting enough sleep. All right? If you have the inability to focus, we call this ADD now, ADHD. All right? I'm just going to admit to you that I have the adult attention deficit, or whatever it is, attention disorder, deficit disorder. If you go to my house and you go to my work area where I work with my hands, there's a bunch of projects that have never been completed because I get bored with them and I move on to the next one. All right? So I am one who sometimes loses my focus. Sometimes it's due to I'm tired. Sometimes it's due that I get interrupted. So if you're someone who is dealing and you just can't seem to tune it in and to get right, something's wrong. This can lead to where you actually have negative effects on your physical health. All right? We are a generation of high blood pressure. Our diets are terrible. Our stress is terrible. And I would hate to have you raise your hands on everyone here who's on blood pressure medicine, because you know what I would have to do? I would have to do this, because I'm on two, all right? So, and I have been for 20 years, and I'm not that old of a guy. So it's, I mean, we are a generation of people who are just stressed out to the max. If you deal with anxiousness, okay, if you have this constant fear of the unknown coming to ruin things, that's not a good place to be at. If you're constantly worrying about what's going to happen, and therefore you're constantly preparing, over-preparing, getting stuff, and double-checking stuff, okay, that can drive you crazy. And then if you even allow that to move you into a place where you lose all hope, that's not where Jesus Christ wants you to live. Jesus Christ wants to bring you hope. And there, I think there's a lot of Christians who are living a life at a pace and in a way that they are living it void of hope. And that's not the life that Jesus Christ has planned for us. In fact, the Christian life is a life filled with hope. That is what drives us, in that one day our hope will end in sight. Do you understand what I'm saying there? There will be no more need for hope at some point when we step into the other side, because we will have the realization of all the promises that God has given us. And that's the life we should be living. But too many of us are burnt out and overspent to the level to where we are actually living a life of hopelessness. Insomnia. We just recently bought a new mattress, and Ariane got these things that lay underneath your mattress, and it gives you a score at the end of the day. Or when you get up, a couple hours after you get up, it sends you an email like, hey, by the way, here's how you slept last night. You're supposed to get over a 70. Okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. The only time I ever score over a 70 is when Ariane's not in the bed with me. And she's not constantly waking me up saying, hey, you're snoring. And in fact, a couple nights ago, I got a 29. I didn't even know that was possible. Okay? I never entered REM. My REM minutes were zero. I don't even know if I fell asleep. Okay? So when she gets home today from Jake's baseball tournament, I'm going to talk to her about, can we get rid of those things under our mattress? Because I wake up in the morning, just to be honest with you, and I'm tired. And then this thing sending me an email like, oh, by the way, you scored a 29 last night. I'm like, oh, my Lord, now I'm depressed and tired. So we got to get rid of those things underneath there. I know I'm not sleeping. I don't need an email telling me I'm not sleeping, okay? This might be technology overload. I'm just telling you that you can get to a physical state to where it starts affecting you emotionally and spiritually. Okay? And it can actually push you into depression. And you can lose your joy. You can lose the joy of life. It's easily done. It's easily done. And that's not something we like to talk about. It's not something we like to discuss with our family and our spouses. But I'm telling you that if we don't take care of ourselves and we don't look at how we're living and the things that we're involved in and accurately prioritize the things in our lives, then you can slip into this in and out. And all the joy of this life can be stolen from you. You know that's what the devil does. He is a thief and a liar, right? And that is his mission, is to convince you and me that you've got to do all this stuff over here to be a good friend, a good employee, a good parent, a good grandparent, all right? And he gets us so busy over here that he distracts us from the things that we're called to do, and in the process, we wear ourselves out. That has a negative effect on our marriages, because now we don't have the energy to spend in our marriage. We can't be the parents that we are. Well, by the way, it's Father's Day, right? Happy Father's Day to all the dads. You know what Mother's Day without gifts is? Father's Day, all right? It's my annual joke. I say it every year, all right? Okay, it's not really quite so funny when Arian's not here, but anyways, all right. But we can get to a stage to where all the joy of this life is stolen from us. And the whole time, the devil is whispering in our ear, and he's convincing us that we're on the right path. We're just not working hard enough. And guess what we do? We buy into that. We work harder at things that we're probably not supposed to be involved in at such a level, distracted from the things that we're called to do. And then we keep spending more energy and energy and energy over here. And now we're at a level to where it's affecting our spirituality, our emotional state. And now the least little thing in your marriage turns into a big thing because you don't have the patience, you don't have the restful spirit that you should have to deal with that. Now you're on anger overload. And any little thing with your kids blows up. And you yell at them. And you feel bad later, like, what's wrong with me? You're tired and you're exhausted. Okay? And now we have these cable news networks that are constantly barraging us. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Okay? You can take this for Aaron@stargbchurch.com is my email if you want to take this up with me later, all right? But the worst thing you can probably do is sit and watch those cable news networks on either side all day long. Those guys get paid to make us mad. That's the truth. Take a break, man, okay? Take a break. Listen, I listen to the music with no words. My kids look at me like, are we really going to listen to this? I was like, it quiets the voices in the head, all right? That's what that does. So you got to find another outlet there. Okay? Because if you're in a constant rage, that's not good. And then you're blowing more energy on the rage, right? And that leads you into what I just talked about, anger. If you're constantly angered, that's not a good sign. Okay? So, talking about this, it's kind of like hearing water run, right? It's like, oh, all of a sudden I got to go to the bathroom. Right? If you constantly talk, so you guys are like tired. I can see it in your eyes. I've talked you into being tired, right? Okay? So just hold on with me real quick. Because Jesus speaks to exhaustion. He puts words into how to deal with exhaustion, how to keep your stamina and not let the world break you down and make you so tired that you can't do the things that he's calling you to do. He spoke to this very subject. It's in Matthew 11. These are some of the most famous scriptures you'll ever find. And yet sometimes we just kind of gloss over them. But there is some heavy instruction here on how to deal with this world that we live in today. Number one, he is calling us to come to him. Now, let me say that again. If you're tired, if you're weary, if you're broken down, if you have reached a level of exhaustion spiritually, emotionally, and even physically, Jesus Christ has put the call out, and he says, if you're tired, if you're worn out, come to me. Come to me. And this is what he's saying. For those of you who labor, he's breaking us apart. And this is what he's saying to you. To labor means that for those of you who are working, for those of you who are exerting a lot of energy towards some things, he's putting the call out. If you're tired from working, come to me. And then we have this heavy laden. Now, what in the world does that mean? And what that means is these are the things that other people put on top of you. And it can be in a whole assortment of classifications. It can be the burdens that people place on you. They just unload it on you. It can be guilt that people place on you. It can be blame that people place on you. It can be expectations. Have you ever gotten expectations from people? Sometimes that's the worst thing. Because those of us who are driven to succeed are already dealing with a bunch of stuff over here. And then you get more expectations put on top of you. And next thing you know, you're just flat worn out. And then you start looking at the people with expectations placing on you. And you can almost get kind of mad at them. And then you get tired and you don't have the energy to nurture that relationship. And then that relationship can fall apart. And if that's your spouse, or if that's your parent, then that's trouble. And your family can start crumbling a little bit. So Jesus is talking. He's speaking directly to us. And this is what he's saying. I know you're working hard. Okay? And I know people are placing burdens on top of you. And all these things are wearing you down, man. But I need you to understand something. The first place you need to look for the answers and the solution to this problem is to Jesus Christ. And that should be the first place we look for all of our problems. Jesus should not have to say these words. It should be understood. But he knew where we were going to get to. He knew the world that was coming. He knew what the devil was going to do to us. And we're here. And this is what he's saying. Come to me. And then here's the dirty little secret about this phrase, heavy laden. Okay? Jesus speaks to that too. And just so you know, I added this part in, all right, the religious leaders, just to put it in the context. And this is what he's saying. He's talking about burdens being placed on people. And in this particular instance, he's talking about the burdens being placed through the legal system, through the legal requirements of the religious law by the religious leaders. And this is what he's saying, is that they're going to bind you, they're going to tie you, connect you, okay? They're going to put you in a situation to where you are attached to heavy burdens. And that's what the world's going to do to us. That's what the world is doing to us. That can happen through people, that can happen through a job, that can happen as troubles hit you, is that you are attached to heavy burdens, okay? And they are hard to bear. You know what that means? They're taxing physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we go, why am I so tired? Am I not tough enough? Come on, what's wrong with me? And you give yourself a pep talk. And then you get into a false sense of energy and stamina, and you exert more energy, and you get more worn out and weary. And this is what Jesus is saying, is that sometimes the world, sometimes friends, sometimes people put these burdens on you. They attach these burdens to you, and they are heavy. They are hard to carry. They are hard to bear. And it says that they lay them on your shoulders. And you have to bear these. You have to carry these. And then here's the dirty little secret. He says, but they themselves, they wouldn't carry these burdens. And so sometimes when we get expectations put on us, and when people lay their burdens on us, sometimes that's a one-way street. Okay? So Jesus is speaking to us. And he's saying, hey, and this is what he's saying. I understand where you are. I understand. You're worn out. I understand that you're working hard. It's coming from a good place. You're working hard. You want to provide. You want to get to that next level. Okay? I understand. And I also understand that people are placing more on you, whether they know it or not. And I also understand that that can be a one-way street. He hears us. And here's what's being said in this scripture by Jesus Christ himself. He knows us at the most intimate level. He understands us. And sometimes when we get frustrated with the people and coworkers and spouses and parents, and family members. And we get to that place where we say, you're not understanding where I am. You couldn't imagine what I'm going through because this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm carrying around. And you don't understand this. And what Jesus Christ is saying is, I've carried the cross up Calvary. I understand what you're dealing with. Here is the promise, is that if you are capable of coming to Jesus Christ, he will give us rest. We can find rest. We can find the stamina, the endurance. That 29 from the email, that can turn into a 79 or whatever. Okay? I'm not even shooting for the 80s yet. I would just like to get into the 70s one time. All right? But with Jesus Christ, my sleep email can get to 100. Because the promise is that if I'm capable of taking all of this stuff that the world's placed on me, and I take it to Jesus Christ, and I say, here, you carry it for me. The promise out of Jesus Christ's own mouth is, he will give me and you rest. And then he puts it into illustrative, whatever you want to say that word, language here, so that we can actually understand what he's saying. And in this day and age, they use the yoke a lot with animals. Now, I've told you this before. I don't have any biblical context to point this towards. Jesus was, the translation is that he was a carpenter. I personally think Jesus was a yoke maker. That's just me, okay? Because he speaks about it all the time. It took time and effort, meticulous work to make sure that that huge piece of wood that you're going to place on those animals was exactly balanced right. It was perfect, all right? Because if it's off just a smidge, you're going to tear an animal's back up. And he talks about this burden and taking a yoke, and he says this all the time. And also, a lot of the times, the religious leaders in this day talked about the yoke in different levels of the law. So this was a language that people there understood. And this is what Jesus Christ is saying. Because he's already said, I identify with you. I know what you're going through. I can give you rest. And here's what I need you to, and this is what Jesus Christ is saying. I need you to understand that the way that this is going to happen is that I'm going to place a yoke on your back. Now, that doesn't sound good, does it? Sounds like you're about to go to work. Okay? It's like when your dad came in and said, hey, we got a great day planned today. You're like, oh, no. What am I doing? Okay? And it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, that's a whole nother level there. Because this is now talking about mentoring. Let me just say this, is that if you're not being mentored or you're not mentoring someone, either officially or through relationships, then you're not living right. You're either lazy or proud. Sorry, that's just the way it is. Okay, because you're either at a place where you say, I can't learn from anybody, or you're at a place where I don't really have time to teach anybody anything else. So in the Christian world, and there's scripture all through it. I mean, like, most of the New Testament is talking about mentoring. Jesus Christ, it's all about mentoring. Whole book of Mark is Jesus is doing it. He's including the disciples in it. He's watching the disciples do it, and then he leads the disciples to do it. That's the book of Mark right there. So this world should be filled with mentoring. But now we just push people off, say, go do it. And then when they can't do it, you're like, oh, you don't know anything. You have to find somebody else who can do it, okay? All right. So here we are. Take my yoke. This is what he's talking about. This is the thing you place on their back. This is what it looks like, all right? Here is the science behind a yoke. Is this thing equals out the effort put by this animal and this animal? So what that means is that this animal can bear the load because this animal isn't mature enough to do it. But at the same time, this animal is learning how to do it because he's in tandem with this animal. And this animal, through experience, through example, is teaching this animal how to do it. And sometimes when we get yoked with someone, it's not a good thing because it's unequally yoked. The Bible speaks about being unequally yoked. And that means physically, mentally, and spiritually. And you can get off kilter there if you're not equally yoked. And what can happen is that this animal can bear the load and teach this animal how to handle it. And what Jesus Christ is saying to us is that if you'll give me your load, I'll bear it for you, and I'll teach you with patience and love and kindness and forgiveness and grace and mercy how to get through this life. And at the same time, while you're allowing me to bear the load, I will give you rest. Isn't that a great promise? Isn't that a great imagery about that, hey, we're not just going to drop these off and let somebody else handle these burdens, but we're actually going to get through it all. But we're going to get through it because Jesus Christ is going to place his yoke on us, and he's going to bear the load and teach us at the same time how to do it as we get through the problems and the troubles, and we don't leave them for somebody else to handle. That's great. That's the imagery of the church. That should be what's going on inside of this building and inside of our homes. Wednesday night, that's what this should be all about. When all those kids come out here, we should be teaching them by example how to deal with the things that they're going to deal with. And I promise you, those kids are going to deal with some stuff. All right? So he says, take my yoke and you will learn from me. Because he exposes his personality here. And he says, I am gentle. Let's just get it straight. Jesus Christ is a loving God. All right? If you're dealing with stuff and you're dealing with it in anger, that's not a Christian approach. I promise you that. God is love. And they will know us as Christians by how we love one another. That's what the Bible says right there. It says, I am lowly in heart. And when I say that, I should get a whole bunch of amens. You know why? Because Jesus Christ humbled himself to the point of death at Calvary through crucifixion. And it's because that he is lowly in heart. And what we need to do is approach life with humility. Not that we have all the answers and that we can handle everything like Superman. But what we need to do is have a humble spirit to where we come to Jesus Christ so that he can put his yoke on us. He can help us handle our problems, and he can give us rest all at the same time. And it says that if you do this, you will, here's the promise. This is Jesus Christ talking. You will find rest for your soul. This is a old promise. This is found in Jeremiah, back in the Old Testament prophecy book. And it says, the Lord says, stand in the ways and see. Okay? Go with me. Walk with God. Walk with the Lord and see how he handles it. Okay? Ask for the old paths. Where the good way is, walk in it. And if you walk with God and you seek his comfort, you seek his example, you seek his guidance and wisdom, the promise is that you will find rest for your soul. Anybody need rest for your soul this morning? I'm going to tell you that if you need rest for your soul, come to Jesus and allow him to place his yoke on you so that he can bear the burdens and mentor us through all of our trials and tribulations. And this is the promise. My yoke is easy. It's not going to be a taxing yoke. We're not going to have to deal our heels in. We're not going to have to exert an amazing amount of strength in his burden, unlike the burdens of those who place expectations and troubles on top of us. His burden is light. Light and easy. Doesn't that sound great? Doesn't that sound like a life you would sign up for? If you could sign up for life today, and it says, do you want the light and easy, or you want the heavy and hard? Huh? I'm going light and easy. This world can be a nasty place. And then you have people who are coming from a good place, wanting to be the best parents that they can be, okay? Wanting to be the best grandparents they can be, wanting to be the best employees they can be, the best bosses, whatever it is, okay? But we have people who are coming from a good place. But unfortunately, we've gotten ourselves into a place to where we are working extremely long hours. They are very productive hours. And people are placing burdens on us. They're placing guilt and blame. They're placing expectations on us. That makes the race even harder to get through this life. And at the same time, God is calling us to do things. And what happens sometimes is that we get misdirected, misguided by our own thoughts, and we're not able to properly prioritize the things in our lives. So we just have a jumbled mess of activity. And at the end of the day, we're tired, we're weary, we're exhausted. We're not putting the effort into our marriage. We're not putting the effort into being parents and grandparents that we should be able to do. And it's because the whole time the devil is lying to us, telling us that you have to keep going, you have to work harder, you have to get more tired. And the whole way along the way, he's stealing our joy. He's stealing our hope. He's stealing all the good things that should come with a Christian life. And sometimes when we look at why families fall apart, why people drift off the church, why commitments aren't as strong as they need to be and all kinds of things, why people, you know, aren't the employee they should be, it's not because we're lazy. It's not because we're not capable of being a good spouse. It's because we're tired, we're weary, and we don't know how to keep the stamina to live the life that we're supposed to live. But the good news is, Jesus is calling you today. He's saying, come to me. I'll take all those burdens. I'll hook up with you one-on-one. Me and you, we'll go in tandem. I'll pull the load, and at the same time, we'll get through it, and you can find rest that you can't find anywhere else. So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. We come to the altar for a lot of reasons. If you're dealing with a tired and weary soul, then let me just say this morning that Jesus is calling you. Come to me. Let me take these from you. Come to me, and I will give you rest. If you got something looking at you in the face in the next couple weeks or this week, and it's beating you down, then Jesus Christ is saying, come to me, and I'll bear the load for you, and you can get through this with a restful soul. And if you're rip-roaring the world right now and it couldn't get better, then come up and give Jesus Christ all the victory, all the glory, because that's who's really getting you through this. And let me say this, if you've never made the commitment to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you've never accepted His salvation, then let me personally invite you this morning, don't waste, that's the word I'm using, don't waste another minute in this life covered in your sins. Find rest, find hope, find grace, find forgiveness, find a cheerful, restful soul. The only way you can find it is through the peace and comfort of salvation through Jesus Christ, the only path to God the Father. I open up the altars to you this morning.